This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
On the 4th and 2, how much does it factor, like, they were starting to use the ball on games and stuff? Did that factor in the decision?
It did. Yeah, all of it did. But we also felt strongly, so I guess I felt even more strongly there, John, just because of that.
Denton, can you explain to me, because you said you were coming back with something.
So John Keim asked Dan Quinn how much the Eagles' offensive success in the fourth quarter impacted his decision to go for it on 4th and 2.
And he said it did.
He said it did, yeah.
Okay. So let's get to the 4th and 2. All right. For those of you that don't remember the specifics or didn't watch the game, Philadelphia had scored a touchdown. It was their second drive of the second half. It was a Jalen Hurts tush-push into the end zone. By the way, I thought Barkley actually had scored on the 2nd and 3. But anyway, they scored 12 minutes to go in the game. And Jake Elliott missed another kick. He missed 2 field goals on the night, and he missed this extra point. And, you know, that extra point was very close to being good. You know, if it goes over the top of the goalpost, any part of the ball is over the top of the goalpost. You know, if you extend the plane of the upright, I'm specifically saying, it's good. And I was wondering, I kept looking down to the referee. I'm like, I hope that's no good. And they said it was no good, but I think it was really close. But anyway, the depth perception is kind of hard when you're behind it. Anyway, so Washington actually at 12-10. Came to life a little bit offensively. You know, Jaden throws a quick one to Bates on a boot. Brian Robinson gets a first down on the next carry. On a 2nd and 10, Jaden, I think, maybe the best throw of the night for him, if it wasn't the 2-point conversion where he extended for a while. It would look like Jaden, right? It was 2nd and 10. It was quick processing. The ball was out quickly. It was right where it needed to be to Ertz in a soft spot in the zone, which was converging. 15-yard gain, something like that, move the sticks. They're in Philadelphia territory. Then Jaden throws to Terry. Terry's only catch of the night. A little low outside ball that Terry, once again, of course he's going to catch those. Any ball that's 50-50, and I think it may have been Cooper DeJean that was on him on that, although Mitchell was on him a lot of the night. But they're moving. And then he throws to Bates again. And John Bates, here we go. It's the John Bates show. And I actually thought on that play, I thought it was close to a first down. Denton, you mentioned to me that you thought it was a first down.
Yeah, I thought it was a first down, and I was very frustrated. This was kind of an overarching theme. We didn't get a replay to see how close he was. They just kind of assumed, nope, 2nd and 8, we're not going to give you a replay. But I definitely thought that was a first down.
So it wasn't. And it was 2nd and 8, but, you know, here you are. You know, you're now it's like, you know, we did have that 4-play 58-yard drive in the first half. That looked like it's looked all season long. They drove the ball at the beginning of the second half, ended up kicking a field goal. There was a lot of, you know, there was a lot of getting stopped and going backwards all night too, obviously. But, you know, it's like the game's on the line, and here we go. Jaden's 4 or 5 on this drive. And it's second and inches, and they give the ball to Brian Robinson Jr., and he gets nailed. I think that was the 3rd and 1 or 2nd and 1 was Jalen Carter. I mean, the dude is just, he is a problem for everybody. And then it's 3rd and 1, and he gets nailed. And it's now 4th and 2. And there are 8 minutes to go, and the ball's at the Philadelphia 26, 27-yard line. So it's going to be a 43, 44-yard field goal attempt, down 12 to 10. Now, for me, I would have kicked the field goal. I felt that way in the moment. I still feel that way today. It's a lot easier in hindsight. And the reasons that I would have kicked the field goal are as follows. Number one, the two preceding plays you went backwards on runs. Philadelphia, by the way, was getting penetration and immediate penetration, especially with Carter, much of the night. I mentioned earlier, they had, in addition to 3 sacks, they had 5 tackles for loss in the game. And one of them had just happened on Brian Robinson Jr. So you are going up against a defense that is winning at the line of scrimmage. Context is everything. I'm assuming, and I don't know this, I'm assuming the analytics said go for it. But whatever, context would have mattered and did matter to me in that moment. And that is the preceding plays heading into that one. The other part of it is that how about a lead with 8 minutes to go in this massive game, and having the lead with 8 minutes to go in a game in which you have not played well? You know, you have not played well. You've been, they've played much better than you have, and you've got the lead with 8 minutes to go. Keep in mind, too, at that moment, you know, they had not, you know, they had gone 2 drives in the second half, 10 points, and it did feel a little bit like the defense was starting to bend a little bit, if not on the verge of being gassed and being broken. But the kicker for the other team had been a mess all night. Like, if you could have just said, hey, we can get a stop and maybe he'll miss another kick. Or maybe he'll make it, but we'll get another shot. I would have kicked the field goal. But here's what you just played for me was really what I thought, you know, about the decision to go for it. And that is, there's a reasonable explanation to go for it. And the reasonable explanation, I think Quinn kind of gave it, is that you're really thinking at that point that you may notice that your defense is starting to get gassed a little bit, and you're not confident in the defense if they have to go back out onto the field holding just a 1-point lead. By the way, the confidence in the kicker should have been there. I mean, Zane Gonzalez hadn't missed since, you know, he started kicking last week. And it was, you know, it's a chip shot in the NFL, 43, 44 yards. So the distance wasn't an issue either. The idea of, in that moment, a couple of things. Number one, maybe they have a really good play that they're convinced going into this 4th and 2, go for it. We're going to be aggressive. We've got a couple of really good plays. Okay, so maybe they thought that. Number two, they've had success on 4th down all year long. Number three is we think we need a touchdown in this drive. You know, so we don't want to kick a field goal and put the defense back out onto the field that was starting to bend a little bit too much for our liking. So it's not unreasonable, I think. And I think there are justifications for going for the 4th and 2. For me, though, the reasons I gave would have outweighed those and I would have kicked the field goal. It's easy in hindsight, but I felt so in the moment. I felt like, I want to see, a 13-12 lead. I don't trust, by the way, I don't trust that much the offense, even though that drive looked as good as any drive, until the 2 plays. It's like when you go backwards on 2 plays prior to a 4th down that you're going to go for, it's not the best feeling in the world, you know? And so I would have kicked the field goal. And of course, the 4th and 2 play was a disaster. Seemed like we had offensive linemen going the wrong way. The snap was bobbled, so that pretty much doomed it from the start. And by the way, the dude 53, which we talked about, Zach Bond, going into the game last night, this dude's having a season. They got some good players, really good players. So that's how I felt about it. And but at the same time, I think that you know, in their shoes, could have come to the conclusion, hey, we got to play. We feel really good about our fourth down stuff. We've been really good on fourth down all year. You know, there's a lot of confidence in fourth down. And those two plays that happened beforehand, we're not even going to run a play like that. We got something in mind, and we need a touchdown here. We need to go down. We need to get a touchdown. We need to be up 17-12 with, by the way, you know, not 8 minutes left in the game, but like 4 minutes left in the game, you know, and then we'll take our chances with a defense that played well, at least in the first half. So I kind of understand if that was the mindset, I just would have made a different decision. Denton, your big takeaways from last night.
So there's a couple. The first one on defense is that any questions we had once Marshawn Lattimore is back on who's going to play on the outside, Mikey Sanders still played awesome last night. I mean, he really stepped up to the moment against a really good group of wide receivers. He played a little bit on A.J. Brown, played a little bit on Devontae Smith, had that great breakup in the end zone. I think that was the early second quarter. So that was great. I loved watching Mikey Sanders still play. I think he was really, really strong. Offensively, I think the team's in a bit of an identity crisis. I put up this stat on Twitter. In games that Jaden has thrown 30 or more times, or over 30 times rather, which has happened 4 times, they're 1-3. I don't know that there's a direct correlation necessarily, but I do think it's important that
what are the four games? Tampa, for sure.
No, it was not Tampa. It was not Tampa.
Yes.
It was not Tampa. Tampa was 24.
Oh, okay.
So it was Baltimore, it was Chicago, it was Pittsburgh, it was last night. And obviously, they won the Chicago game.
Against Baltimore, that was the way to move the football, and they did.
It was. You know, like, so I understand, like, there is context to it. So it's not like if you throw more than this, you're going to lose. But I do think it is something to consider where they were having their most success when he was throwing fewer because they were having so much success running the football. And I do think, like, Brian Robinson played well last night. I was really impressed with what he did. So I would love them to get back to the roots of what made them so good, which is committing to the run, being a run-first team, and then playing with a little bit of tempo. Their best drive prior to the fourth down mishap was all tempo. They weren't huddling. They were moving. They had Philadelphia on their toes. It was a very similar thing last week against Pittsburgh. When they started to move the football, they were playing with tempo. They need to stay, not maybe stay the entire game in tempo, but they need to utilize that a lot more because it makes life hard on the defense because you don't have time to sub. And then I feel like you catch guys slower and you catch guys lacking, and then Jaden can make some plays with his legs. So I would like to see a lot more tempo for the remainder of the season and not just a one drive here, one drive there kind of deal.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's all sort of opponent dependent, you know, because in some of when you're not having success on a first down, let's say, with tempo, then you've got to get different personnel into the game on second and 10. Or second and 9 than you were anticipating. Good tempo works when you get success on those first few plays and you get rolling and you're in the down and distance and you've got the personnel on the field that you want. And to your point, when they have been successful in up tempo, they've been successful on early downs. And they've gotten into that down and distance. You know, there are two things that I want to go back and look at. And, you know, by the time we do this and we're back on the air on Monday, we'll probably forget about it. But I really want to check out the Mitchell, Terry McLaurin, you know, how many times he was on Terry and if Terry got any sort of separation.
20 times was the time they lined up.
What'd you say?
They lined up with each other 20 times.
Then he had a lot of success on Terry McLaurin.
He did. He's played awesome. The last 6 games, Quinyon Mitchell has been arguably the best DB in the league.
So when it wasn't him, who was it? Was it Slay?
There was the Slay on that drag route where it looked like Terry stopped. Jaden thought he was going to keep going on that third down. That was Slay. The comeback route, which I think was Terry's only catch, was Cooper DeJean.
It was DeJean, yeah. That's right. The comeback was DeJean. And by the way, the coverage wasn't terrible on that. I thought Mitchell, number 27, if you were watching, I thought he was outstanding. By the way, I thought N'Kobe Dean was outstanding, too. Remember when, you know, they drafted him long after people thought he would get drafted? And he hasn't really played well. He's playing well this year. You know, they've got an excellent coordinator. They've got really good players around him. And I think number 17 has played, at least I thought last night he played well. And I think 53's excellent. And of course, Jalen Carter is really disruptive. All right. Let's get to the phone lines. 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. Phone lines are open. Your reaction to Washington's 26-18 loss last night in what was an absolute big-time moment this season. Big game. You know, Al Michaels does have some historical accuracy and understanding. I think at one point early he said, this has to be the biggest regular season game Washington's had in years. It was. And it was a bit of a dud. Certainly on offense it was. Your call's next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and theteam980.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Attempt to take the lead. Oh, boy. Juggled it. Lucky he came away with it. And then he gets slammed out of bounds short of the first down.
All right, your turn, 301-230-0980. Ben Standig will join us. We've got smell test picks coming up next hour. We'll preview the rest of your NFL card for this weekend, maybe talk a little college football as well. But we've done it. Now it's your turn. Let's start with my guy Frank in Charlotte. Frank, you're up. 26-18 loss, what'd you think?
Yeah, we kind of talked about it yesterday, Kevin. Remember I told you the 9-8 record, they were going to miss the playoffs. We talked about that, and you said they might go 2-6 down the stretch. This is the reason why. And, yeah, I know I mentioned St. Juice yesterday. I think Mike Davis started, Kevin. I think he started in place of St. Juice. I'm not sure. Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't think he started. If you might be right. I'd have to go back and look at that. I thought St. Juice was in there and then came out.
Yeah, I know. I know he came in there. He played about maybe 20 plays, but I'm sure. Maybe I'm wrong. I have didn't
okay.
check it out. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But yeah. But anyway, my issue, of course, is we have the Joe Witt problem. It's been a problem all year, Kevin. Okay, and it showed itself in the first Tampa game, and we're getting gutted up the middle, and the problem is still not solved. We have a $20 million D tackle in De'Ron Payne, that can't make plays.
He didn't play well last night. So, I didn't think anybody up front played well.
Exactly. And then I'm also skeptical about that second round pick. I think he's had flashes, but I don't think he was warranted the 36th pick. I just don't. I think there was other players
Sandra
that could have got at that position.
Or yeah, Newton?
No, not.
Oh, Newton.
No, I'm talking about the other guy.
By the way,
St.
Juice started. He was. I just went and looked at the first play. He was on the field on the first play.
Okay, my apologies.
Yeah,
okay.
No worries.
So, I don't think he was warranted the 36th pick. I mean, we missed out on a lot. And then we traded out. I think we traded out.
I don't know.
I like
Newton. I like his talent. I don't think – look, I thought the defense was fine in the first half, but I didn't think it was necessarily Newton, Mathis, and Payne. You know, I thought it's Luvu was an absolute beast. Wagner's been that. The safeties have played well, you know, this year.
Mm-hmm.
And Philly, let's face it, they shot themselves in the foot four or five times in the first half.
Yeah. And our guy, Jaden, he did not play well. I'm sorry.
No, he didn't.
He did not. I love Jaden. He did not play well. And I don't know if it's the injury or whatever, but his mechanics were awful. He's drifting a lot and throwing the ball. And it's leading to a lot of ground balls. He's not very accurate. He's unsure of himself. He don't know what he's seeing.
Last night he was.
And I think a lot of that has to do with Kingsbury's offense as well, Kevin. You at some point, you have to play from under the center. I looked at the guy down in San Diego his rookie year. He threw 31 touchdowns. He passed over 4,000 yards his rookie season. And so he did a lot of stuff from under center and from the gun. You just can't. I mean, you got to keep the defense honest. You got to play from under center. I know. I don't know if.
I think they played under center on some of those key plays on that drive. I think fourth and two was under center. I think those last a few plays on that drive that were under center.
Yeah, but I'm talking about passing. I mean, drop back.
When they're under center and they go play action. I think they're more effective sometimes when they do that.
Exactly. And so I don't think Jaden's comfortable doing it. I'm gonna wrap it up because I know you got other callers.
Yeah.
But I just think that Kingsbury's lack of motion in the offense and also under the center with the drop back is not keeping the defense honest. And the league has caught up with Kingsbury. And I'm gonna leave it at that.
I think that's. I think honestly that's so far premature, given that literally this was one of the two or three best offenses in the league until. Last night or until Sunday against Pittsburgh. And the Pittsburgh game was more about some self-destruction. You know, people were open. They dropped balls. And Jaden wasn't great in that game, but he certainly wasn't terrible in the Pittsburgh game. And I think last night needs more investigation because I think that there was a lot going on. There's no doubt Jaden looked confused. He was off. Some of those throws were really bad. We've talked about the possibility of him being sore injury, but I personally don't think that explains the bulk of it. But how much of it was him versus how much of it was Cliff versus how much of it was receivers not getting open versus how much of it was O-line versus how much of it was in last night in particular and even on Sunday, you're playing two excellent defensive teams. And last night, you are playing an extremely well-coached defensive team. Let's go to Aveen. Aveen, go ahead.
Hey, Kevin. I know you're not going to agree with this, and it sounds like major coping from me, but I think the biggest reason we lost yesterday was because of how limited the offense and Jaden was because of his injury. I think it looked painful for him to throw it outside the numbers. Those 5 to 10 yard throws we're used to seeing him easily make, he wasn't making. And that has nothing to do with Fangio being a defensive mastermind or Jaden being rattled by pressure. Like, any throw past 7 yards was short. It was without the power we're used to seeing it with. How many times did he spike balls into the ground? We haven't seen that like at all this season. And I think the biggest tell was they didn't let him throw a Hail Mary at the end of the first half. So I'm coping, and I'm an Eagles hater, and I don't buy that he was rattled by the Eagles or what Fangio was doing. I mean, he faced way worse circumstances against the Steelers last Sunday with two tackles out, no Robinson. He was under pressure a lot that game, and he made big-time throws.
What happened? Did he re-injure it last week? Is it the hand more than the ribs?
No, I'm still thinking it's the ribs.
Why did he play well against Chicago, the Giants, and much better Sunday against Pittsburgh than last night?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe he re-aggravated it. Maybe it was a short week, but he just didn't look right. It's not normal seeing him spike that many throws into the ground and missing those 5 to 10 yard throws.
Throws were hideous, and I'll take your point as a good one on a couple of those out patterns. They weren't close. And I there were a couple of over the middle balls that were really bad too. I think it's probably a mix of a lot of things. I think if you discount how good Philadelphia is, and I think one of the things I mentioned, I want to go back and look at Mitchell versus McLaurin a little bit more, but I want to look at just the receivers in general, because when I went back early this morning and just went through the condensed version, Denton and Aveen, there wasn't a lot open, you know, and yeah, a couple of those throws that were bad throws, it looked like maybe they were doable. In other cases, maybe it was a good thing that they weren't anywhere near the receiver. But I think it's a lot of things going on. I personally, based on what I was told last week, based on what Quinn said after the game, to explain it away and to rationalize it with he's hurt, I don't think explains last night completely. So we'll just agree to disagree on that one. But I'm also not suggesting that he's not feeling something. Although it is odd, right, that when Quinn said he was most uncomfortable, he had two really good games, A-level games against Chicago and the Giants, was not restricted from movement, you know, scrambled, read options. Hell, they were running quarterback counters last night. If they were really concerned about him being injured, then that was kind of irresponsible. You know, that now we're into a whole other conversation. Look, the hand may have been as much of an issue on the throwing as the ribs were last night. It's all open. I mean... I'm not saying that you're wrong on anything. I just think last night there appeared to have been a team on the other side of the ball that was one step ahead of where Washington was offensively for much of the night. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Adam in Silver Spring. Adam, go ahead.
Hey, I kind of agree with what everyone is saying here, yourself and the last caller. I think there might be some truth to be said about Jaden and whether or not he's feeling 100%. I don't know. Last night, his game speed just looked totally different than maybe like a few weeks ago. Like I remember against Cleveland, he had so much agility. But last night, it almost looked like he had 45-pound boots on his feet. He just looked kind of slow. And that's obviously a major problem. But my biggest takeaway from the game last night was just a major letdown from the coaching staff. I was so upset with 4 minutes to go and they're running the ball because, yeah, I think we all felt like the game was out of reach. I heard you say that earlier and I agree and I felt that for sure. But when I looked at the score, I said, you know, we're not actually totally out of this. If we score, it's a one possession game. It's a one possession game if we score
and make the two points.
There was just no sense of urgency. And I'm like, is Cliff Kingsbury really calling run plays right now? Like, what are we doing? This is the biggest game we've had in years. And it just felt from the third quarter to the fourth quarter, like the roof was caving in, like that feeling, like, here we go again. Here we go. We had this game. All we had to do was, you know, capitalize.
Well, we never had this game last night. Last night never felt like the winnable game Sunday felt like. I'm not saying that they couldn't have won and that at times it didn't feel like we still had a chance to win. Sunday's game was many more missed opportunities and missed, you know, than last night's game was. That's the way I felt anyway.
Yeah, I felt that too. It just and granted, Philadelphia was shooting themselves in the foot in the first half. I thought our defense played just good enough that if our offense had taken advantage of those opportunities, maybe with proper coaching throughout the rest of the game, we could have maybe won that game by a way of chess. That's how I felt, but we just didn't take advantage. And I don't know if that was Jaden's game speed, whether or not he's 100%, but the coaching was just the major letdown. That was my major takeaway.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. You know, there's a play that that to me speaks to Jaden looking like Jaden. And I'm going to tell you what that play was when we come back. There are a lot of plays that did not look like Jaden last night. I understand that. But if we're going to get into those of you that want to chalk this up 100% or even 90% to he's not physically right. You know, again, we've got the New York and the Chicago games closer to the injury to say, well, then why didn't he look, you know, off in those games? And further away from the injury, now it doesn't look right against, by the way, two much better teams and much better defenses. I'm not going to explain it away that way. And, you know, I'm going to take the person I talked to last week at his word and Quinn at his word last night that it's better than it was a few weeks ago. The hand is a different issue. You know, that was cut. You saw it, and I'm wondering how much that affected his throwing. And apparently he had a cut on his hand. I'm going to assume that it was the same cut, but I don't know that for sure, during the Pittsburgh game as well. But you're not wrong to say it doesn't look like the first nine games. You know, offensively overall, it doesn't look like the first nine games. Last night would have been more, okay, it's a rookie season. You know, we're going to have these ups and downs, and this is a down moment. But we've been so used to near flawlessness that the last two games, last night specifically, is a bit alarming, and I understand that. All right, stay on the phones if you're there. If you want to jump in, we got a line open at 301-230-0980. More of your calls next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
Smith in the slot, Brown wide right. And a little trickery here, but nothing doing. Boy, was that smelled out perfectly that time. He's about Frankie Louvu.
There he is.
Whoa, they go to the very back of the playbook. Not even close.
No, that wasn't close. I forgot to mention, how about the first play of the game for Philadelphia running a play to throw the ball to Jahan Dotson? You don't think that was done on purpose, do you? He dropped one, too, in the first half. Philadelphia actually had a couple of drops in the first half of the game. I was also going to mention real quickly, Denton, that I didn't think Jalen Hurts looked right in the first half. I thought he missed a lot of throws. And I also thought the pass rush pressure was pretty consistent in the first half. And I think the pass rush pressure actually overall has really improved over the last several games. But he got it going in the second half, and obviously Saquon Barkley got it going in the second half. But I thought A.J. Brown was open a couple of times, and he just missed him completely. There was one play on the sideline where he threw literally like a ball that came out of his hand going the wrong direction. It was weird. All right, back to phone lines, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Let's go to Daryl in Calvert County. Daryl, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Hey, what's going on, man?
Hey, Daryl.
Hey, so I'm not going to pinpoint it to one thing, but one sequence that really did it for me, I don't know if it was John Bates, but that last drive where we didn't kick the field goal, second and inches. If we had pushed up to fourth and inches, I could see going for it, but we lost half a yard, was it, on second?
Yeah, we was fourth and two. We went from second and inches to fourth and two. And actually, the second and inches, when you look at that play, I actually think Denton's right. I think Bates got the first down, but whatever. Fourth and two, not fourth and inches after two negative plays. His phone wasn't
good. Yeah, we lost him. His phone stunk.
Let's go to Lap. Lap, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Hey, what's up, Kevin? What's up, Denton, man? yeah, this is a tough one, man. The last two been rough, Kevin. It just shows where we stacked up at. I just hope Dan Quinn don't bring that, the way he lost in the Super Bowl, bring that offense here, man. Like, you got to coach better, man. We should have.
You don't want to lose in the Super Bowl?
No, man. Yeah. I mean, well, yeah.
I don't either, but it would be nice to go to one.
Well, yeah, it's true, but I'm just saying the mindset of, you know, how he that debacle in the Super Bowl, we don't want that effect to come over here in these games, is my point. Mm-hmm. So I'm just hoping that, like as some of the callers were saying, that Jalen doesn't look right. I don't know what's going on, but it's mental. I don't know if something's going through. I don't know if it's, you know, stemmed from the injury. But like you said, Kevin, he played well in some of those other games, which was more closer to the injury than where we are now. I don't know. I think they need to get the tight ends involved more, and the running backs have been great. Maybe, you know, continue to get them going, you know, because our receivers suck. I'm sorry. I've been saying it for a while. We need some more receivers to help with Terry or take the pressure off of Terry. Yeah. And
well, last night they threw to the tight ends. They threw to Austin Eckler. He was their leading pass catcher in the game.
Look,
this was a year in which you weren't going to solve every single, you know, roster issue. They've done a pretty good job, I would say, solving a lot of them. But, you know, corner and second receiver and, you know, offensive line depth there, you know, and right now, you know, potentially a little bit more in the way of D-line. Although I think the pass rush, I've been impressed with Armstrong this year, a little bit more than I thought I would be. But thanks for the call, Lap. Appreciate it. Let's go to Judy. Judy, thanks for holding. Go ahead. Judy. Put Judy back on hold. Let's go to Billy. Billy, what's up?
Kevin, good morning. Disappointing. You know, listen, the team is good. It's a good football team, but that's a disappointing loss last night. I would say to Quinn, just because you practice something all week or, you know, in a shortened week on a 4th-and-2 doesn't mean you have to go for it. That felt like the decision was totally outside what was happening in the game. And you said it, that needed context. I mean, somebody mentioned the Super Bowl loss, and I've been really feeling good about the whole staff this year and the way they've, you know, prepared for the games. To me, that was reflective of a guy who lost a 25-point lead in the Super Bowl. It just projects desperation. It's like, we have to get a touchdown here. We have to move the football. Go out there and kick the field goal and say to the defense, hey, we're up by a point right now. Go win the darn game. Go get a pick and let's get the football back again or force a fumble. And it just projected desperation to me. And I just loathed that lack of kick.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that I would describe it as projected desperation because, you know, I would bet you that the analytics guy said this is at least a slight go-for-it situation. I honestly don't know what the analytics say on that. The context is you just lost a yard and a half on two consecutive plays. You have actually been blown up a lot in the backfield. And the pulling plays, they've run a lot of pulling plays. It's hard to keep pulling when Jalen Carter's on the other side of the ball, you know, and is constantly in your backfield.
Get a lead.
So I would have kicked the field goal. I would have kicked it, but I also, I also understand maybe from their standpoint, we got a play that we really feel good about, which, by the way, we don't know the answer to that because, let's face it, they were 11 for 11 until they missed the Ertz play last week on the spot. Okay, so they've been great on fourth down this year. They've had great fourth down plays. They may have felt really good about this one that they hadn't used yet in the game. And I think that there was probably a sense of the defense is starting to break maybe a little bit here. We're going to need a touchdown. We're going to need to burn some more clock. I understand it from their standpoint, but for me, what you and I just talked about would have outweighed it, and I would have put the kicker back out there. I would have said, let's take a 13-12 lead. Absolutely. And let's see if, you know, we can get Philadelphia to self-destruct again, which they had done multiple times last night. And by the way, their kicker had missed three kicks. So there was that part of it, too. Yeah.
We got two games coming up. We got 10 days off. Then we got our bye. This is a chance for the team to rally, for all of us to kind of enjoy what we've done here in the first half of the season and get this organization back in shape to make a run. Thanks.
Yeah. All right, Billy. Appreciate it. Let's go to our guy, Joe, in Springfield. Joe, go ahead.
Hey, Kevin, what's going on?
What's up, Joe?
All right, I'll do a quick like, very brief like, and what I did not like at all. I understand, I love how Cliff Kingsbury, I mean, he was on the list I didn't like at all because I didn't think the play calling was good. But the fact that he got Austin Eckler involved in the passing game again is a plus because look what he's done yards after the catch and improved last night. I mean, heck, the guy could have had at least two or more receptions the way it was going, because he really was our best receiver on the field last night. Frankie Louvu, I praise him every single week. I mean, it's like every time you know that he's going to be out there making plays, and he continues to doing it. What I didn't like, this is by far the worst offensive game of the year. The fact that you have Noah Brown, De'Ami Brown, Terry McLaurin and Zacchaeus all combined for 4 catches total. And when the running backs outplay the receivers, that's ridiculous. I mean, it shows you how well the Phillies defense is matching our receivers all night, but it's like, that's unheard of. And a side note, I am so tired on social media this morning and late last night saying, well, great swan song, farewell season, see you in 2025. Are you kidding me?
It's just ignore that stuff. It's trolls and dum-dums. I mean, come on, man. It's a pretty good football team through 11 games. You know, absolutely. You got a rookie quarterback. Every rookie quarterback pretty much in the history of the game is up and down, up and down. And we've had in 11 games, basically 9 up games for the most part. He's treated us to, you know, an abnormal rookie season. Look, you got a soft landing. I love saying that about our, you know, past arch rival. I love saying we got a soft landing after this mini bye week. I mean, they're barely a professional team right now. So this should be an opportunity. With that in mind, Micah Parsons is back. He plays for them. Tennessee, by the way, in the game after Dallas, they're very good defensively. So they'll get another defensive test on December 1st. And then finally, Christ, the bye week will come. I mean, this is 3 straight years with this late bye week. I don't understand how that is fair in the scheduling. But they've actually had more beneficial opportunities schedule-wise than they've had in the past, including travel. Let's go to our favorite Canadian friend, Ryland. Ryland, what's up?
Good morning, Kev. You know, I'm just in shock. Like, what are we thinking out there? In the game context, you take the lead, you hit the 9-iron to the biggest green on the planet, except for Jake Elliott, who cannot even hit the ball straight, a little quick at the top, snap hook. But you take the lead there, and I guess for the first time, like you guys have mentioned, our quarterback, our savior, Mr. Number 5, actually did look like a rock pile. And there's a little more hockey talk for you boys. But It's unfortunate. I think there was an opportunity to win that game, but like you say, at the end, what was the Amazon Prime crew talking about? The game was in reach. It might have not have been very probable.
They were completely clueless. Possible. They were oblivious to it. They had checked out with respect to the game situation. Completely.
It was insane.
Michaels
used to
be great at that stuff. They completely lost track of what was going on in the game. Completely.
I agree with that, and I think that Dan Quinn put his entire team in a tough spot, because if you kick the field goal, you get the lead. If you miss the field goal, the team rallies. But if you go for it,
you're not planning on missing a 43-yard field goal. Those are chip shots. That's a 13-12 lead, 90% plus probability.
And then you're still in the game if they march down and Saquon runs free. Like, you just can't give your team that. You have the opportunity to go on the road, take the lead, and see what happens. And then you just kind of fumble, and that was just ugly. But I think it's a good opportunity to kind of look himself in the mirror, and then get everybody look themselves in the mirror, and come into Dallas when they come into our building and absolutely take them to town. Because like you said, they're a soft team. Mike McCarthy's soft. Hey, we'll be all right, but let's bounce back in a big way and get back on track.
11's still pretty good on their team, though. So that is one.
Yeah,
thing.
He's good. Let's keep track of 11 out there, but let's. Let's just expose them for what they're worth, which is not a good football team. So let's regroup. Let's get back on track here. And let's have a good weekend.
Ryan. And
a peaceful weekend of sports betting.
Yeah, you
have
too.
Have a good one, boys. Hail the Skins.
Appreciate it. Let's go to John in Silver Spring. John, go ahead.
Kevin, so I agree with your field goal analysis thing there on the fourth down. But before we even got to that point, I felt our offensive line was being outplayed. We were 3 and out all day long. As far as I watched, I fell asleep. I didn't see that 4th and 3. But the point, my point is, I felt like you did, that the running game and the offense needed to keep Philly off the field. Philly's got way too many playmakers on their offense. So to expect the defense to continue to play the way they did, because I think they played a heck of a game to keep them to where they were, is not really fair to the team. You have to, you know, we have to realize, we look at the records of the teams we've played and come to reality that we're a first-year team building to come to a place. Philadelphia was in the Super Bowl 3 years ago, weren't they?
2 years ago.
2 years ago. They won a Super Bowl not long ago. So, you know, we're We're a very good team. We're not elite. They're elite. They're Kansas City elite type team. There are certain teams in this league like that. We're not there yet. We'll get there. We need more talent. That's all I got to say.
That's a reasonable approach. The issue is that they were, for the first nine games, an elite offensive football team. And they've taken a step back the last two games from being an elite offensive football team. And that was their calling card to being more than just a one-and-done wild card team. You know, a potential team that could give some people some trouble when they got there. And the irony of it is I think the defense has improved now. I wasn't on board after the Panthers, Bears, and Giants games. But I think that the defensive effort overall against the Steelers was the best of the year. And I think the first half last night against that Philadelphia team that was helping out, okay, they were punching themselves in the face over and over again in the first half. But still, I think that there have been encouraging signs defensively, even though you can't erase Philadelphia had 270 yards in the second half, 28 on 28 plays, and they rolled up in the second half 23 points, you know. So, scoring on four of four drives. Let's go to Michael in Gaithersburg. Michael, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Yeah, Kevin, I have a couple points to make. Number one, everything considered with Jalen, Jaden Daniels, I think basically combination of him hitting the wall, so to speak, injuries to his ribs, perhaps his finger, and of course tape, where all these other teams now see the tendencies that he's demonstrating. Those are my takeaways. The last thing I want to make mention of too is the fact that Cliff Kingsbury doesn't do very well in the second half of the season, as evidenced by his stay in Arizona. There was some record like he was 5-3 or whatever first eight games, for example. But the last nine games, he's fallen off the cliff, so to speak.
We talked about that during the offseason. There is, there's some evidence, not every single Cliff Kingsbury OC or head coach team, but there is some evidence that, people caught up with what he was doing. I would just say, by the way, the tape, that people have, it only works when you've got the players to make it work. And they've played two teams in back-to-back games that had the players to make it work, to be able to contain Rushem, to be able to hit him, to be able to disrupt him, to be able, last night, I think, at times, confuse him. It's not every game that you'll have that. Then again, you got to beat these kinds of teams if you want to go to where you want to go to. So I get that too. Denton, let's work in Cleveland from Laurel, because we've never talked to Cleveland before. I don't think I would have remembered Cleveland from Laurel. Thank you.
Now, you know, you probably don't you hear me?
I got you.
Yeah, you probably don't. You never heard about this. I've been listening to you for probably 20 years. Look, a couple of things. Obviously, Jaden is hurt, and he's gotten progressively worse, right? The Pittsburgh game, we probably should have won. We turned the ball over, and we didn't get anything for that. He played okay, but we should have won that game outright because of how they played, and we had the opportunities to win the game, but we got drops. What I think should happen now is he probably shouldn't have played in this game. He should have let the backup play, because you can tell he got worse as the progression got worse. As he played, he got worse. And the point is, we got a quarterback behind him just ready to go. I mean, he's not going to play. I mean, he might be able to play when he comes back after the break. I mean, he's got 10 days. But I think we should have utilized a second-string quarterback, at least gave him some reps. Then that way, Jaden could get better as the season progressed. And when we come back from the break, he'll be fine. I mean, we got. That's why you have a good backup quarterback.
Yeah,
we know he's hurt.
I'm not. If the coaching staff is saying that actually on the mend, improving, which is what they've been saying, which is why he hasn't been on the injury report. There's no way in hell he's not starting in a game like last night. The biggest division battle they've had in years. There's just no way I would do that.
You can see the guy is hurt. I mean, if you just look at all the stuff that he was doing before he got hurt, those guys wouldn't have been able to touch him.
I'm not sitting here, as I've been saying all morning, and thanks, Cleveland, for the call, and I appreciate you listening for so long. I'm not sitting here and telling you that I don't think that I notice that he's, you know, looks a little bit off physically, because I do feel that way. But they have said, and they said again last night, the head coach, that it's much better than it was in that first game against the Bears after the Carolina game. And let's not forget, he had a good game against Chicago, had an excellent game against the Giants. And last week, yes, they played the best defensive team they played this year. And last night, they probably played either the best defensive team or the second best defensive team. So it could be that he's not well. It also could be that the teams they played did a great job against him in the last two games. And you got to figure out answers to that. Ben Standing next.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.